shock for fiends. We'll be fine for someone and me.
I own wind and fire, breeds the hunger that keeps me on the road again. It's a wind and fire, I don't own thunder, it's all my love of mine.
With a beat and a drum that makes your head spun, see no, hear no, speak no sun, heard like a gun, held by the young, in a far gone land shooting everyone. 55, 5, 4, 5, 4, it's the baggage in your back becoming a problem. It's the habit that you have still fun. Counting your losses, carrying crosses, looking at your face in the dark. Traveling buses, hiding from the rosters, pretending that you're extrovert. But a car you accosted, an innocent hostage, stay wide, you were at work. After 3 years, 2 days, paranoid drug case, couldn't stand to live a life of hurt.
I own wind and fire, breeds the hunger that keeps me on the road again. It's I don't own thunder.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which glasses he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tootie's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
WUVT. this world's ever seen. Together we're close as can be. But sometimes it's hard to find time in between to tell you what you mean to me. You are the rose of my heart. You are the love of my life. A flower not faded nor falling apart. If you're tired, rest your head on my heart. Rose of my heart. When sorrow holds you in its arms of clay, it's raindrops that fall from your eyes. Your smile is the sun come to earth for a day. You brighten my blackest of skies. You are the rose of my heart. You are the love of my life. A flower not faded nor falling apart. If you're cool, let my love make you warm. Rose of my heart. So hard times are easy times. What do I care? There's nothing I'd change if I could. The tears and the laughter are things that we share. Your hand in mine makes it good. You are the rose of my heart. You are the love of my life. A flower not faded nor falling apart. If you're cool, let my love make you warm. Rose of my heart. The rose of my heart. You are the love of my life. A flower not faded nor falling apart. If you're cool, let my love make you warm. Rose of my heart.
There's only one place on the dial you can hear. John Scofield, Greg Oz, Matthew Shipp, The Bad Plus, Ben Ellis, Quincy Jones, Dave Burrett, Lightcap, Paul Blair, Fred Hirschfeld, Ken Craig Tate, Amanda Monaco, Springfield Joe, Chicago Underground, Ray Bell, Deskey, Dave Douglas, Hoggins and John McLaughlin, William Hooker, Coltrane, Galactic, William Sonner, Gil Scott, Pharaoh Sex, Johnny Sabran, Stanley Ornette, Jimmy Smith, Horace Silver, Chick Corby, Stan Getz. There's only one radio station that can bring you all that jazz. WUVTFM 90.7 Blacksburg.
Canada's number one radio station for 50 miles. WUVT.
Aluminium, velo, titanium. That alarm clock goes like it does most every morning. I don't feel near as bad as the things I've been through. I'm a work in progress, lots of room for improvement. But I'm a whole lot better on account of you. Pour me a cup, I thumb through the paper. It sets me to thinking, what's this world coming to? Bad as it is, it's not as bad as it could be. It's a whole lot better on account of you. Lord, I know, as sure as I know anything, and no one does it all. That the neediest people are the last ones to ask you for help. Some things you're born knowing, some you only learn from living. I miss a lot of them, but I picked up a few. I'm a little more patient, a little more understanding. I'm a whole lot better on account of you. On account of you. That the happiest people are the first ones to offer their help. That alarm clock goes, and I'm already up this morning. I find myself searching for some good that I can do. Maybe someday from a friend or from a stranger, it's a whole lot better on account of you. It's a work in progress, lots of room for improvement, but it's a whole lot better on account of you. Everyone's gonna cry.
of a chance. I'll tell the world that I love you, and I'm a victim of circumstance that's been proven guilty. Oh, yes, I.
Welcome to Talk at the Table. I'm Andy Morikawa, your host. We're coming to you from the studios of WUVT FM 90.7 Blacksburg. This is the Valley's number one radio station and the nation's first student radio station, where more tower means more power. Our studios are in Squire Student Center on the campus of Virginia Tech, and we are Talk at the Table, where community stories come alive and the discourse is civil. And our guests are all neighbors. Give us a call, won't you, with questions for our guests, your comments on what you've heard, and thoughts about community that you'd like to share with us and our listening audience. Our number here is 540-231-9888. That's 231-9888. This is Talk at the Table. It is feeling almost spring-like out there, and I know a lot of us are enjoying that. It's spring break here at Virginia Tech. We're fortunate to have with us four guests, Lori Tolliver-Jones, Museum Administrator of Historic Smithfield, Chance Hellman, who's a staff interpreter and volunteer coordinator at Historic Smithfield. Terry Nicholson is Museum Administrator for the town of Blacksburg, and Sherry Wyatt is Collections Manager for the Montgomery Museum and Lewis Miller Regional Arts Center. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to be spending the hour talking about historic preservation and the role that it serves in community today. The four folks who are here represent different organizations within the New River Valley whose purpose and mission broadly is historic preservation. We're going to be spending the time looking at their organizations in a general sense, looking at activities and upcoming programs, news, developments about their organizations. In the third quarter hour, we're going to take a look at the economic impacts of the downturn on their organizations and how you can provide help and assistance for them. And then in the final hour, we're going to look at the role of historic preservation in the life of the New River Valley community. Let's begin our conversation, Lori, if you would, and give us some basic information about Historic Smithfield.
Thank you. Historic Smithfield is a house that was built in 1774. It became a house museum in 1964. And is actually owned by an organization called Preservation Virginia that is housed in Richmond. We are managed locally by a board of directors, though, and our mission is basically one of preservation and education generally for the community, and to involve them in any way that we can and that is appropriate in terms of teaching about preservation and educating them about local history.
Okay. All right. And Terry, give us some background information about the town of Blacksburg's program and the Blacksburg Museum.
Well, we actually are one of the youngest of the three organizations represented here. And we have had a program in place for about 6 years now, but we have not had a building open to the public. So when people call and say, where is the Blacksburg Museum? We do not have a place that we can actually send them to yet. We are getting ready to open our first public building, and we're very excited about that, and that is the St. Luke and Oddfellows Hall. And that building was the center of an African-American community in downtown Blacksburg. It is the only building left in that community, and so it stands as a real representation of what that community was and a reminder of the fact that that community did exist and played a very important role in the development of Blacksburg. We also have a kind of broader vision, similar to what Lori was talking about, as far as education and preservation, and that's the mission of the museum is to establish and inform a sense of place and time for citizens and visitors to Blacksburg. That is a very broad mission statement, and so you can imagine that encompassing much more than just preserving some buildings. There is much more to it than that, and that's one of the things that we like to remind people is that it is more than just making sure an old building continues to stand. It is remembering the stories that go with those buildings, reminding ourselves of why those buildings are important, what it took to get that building there, the people that it took to make that building operate. So there are so many stories that are intertwined with these that we like to make sure people remember. We, as a museum for the past 6 years, have been looking at, without a building, how do we educate people about the history of this area? So we've done some things like conducting walking tours of the downtown historic district. The original 16 squares that were laid out as a grid for the original town of Blacksburg in 1798 are still there. And so making sure people realize that when they're whizzing through town driving in a car, then some of the buildings that they're passing have been there for over 200 years. Just making sure people are aware of that history. We like to retell stories as much as we can so that people do recognize, what has gone into the formation of this town and its growth and development. And then we're also always looking at researching, continuing to find out some of the stories that we may have missed in the past or may have been forgotten in the past. So, we do try to encompass as much as we can without the buildings, but be able to incorporate the stories that are there. So.
Great, thanks. Sherry, how about Montgomery Museum and Lewis Miller Regional Arts Center?
The museum is located in Christiansburg at 300 South Pepper Street. And it was an early 1850s house that was built as the Presbyterian Manse for Christiansburg Presbyterian Church. And it was only occupied by the minister for about 15 or 20 years. And then it was sold to the Pepper family. So many people know it as the Pepper House. But unlike Smithfield, we don't interpret the house as a house museum. Rather, the house is rehabilitated and used to house our museum and art gallery. And the mission of the museum is to preserve and protect and exhibit the history of Montgomery County, as well as celebrate and exhibit art from artists of the New River Valley. The museum is entering its 27th year.
27 years. How about Smithfield?
We opened as a house museum in 1964, so we have served the public since then on various levels, but since then it's been open to the public as a place to interpret the history of the family that owned the house, which was the Prestons, as well as on a broader scale, educate people again about their stories, as Terry was talking about, as well as historic preservation in general.
And when was Smithfield first, when was it built?
In 1774.
And it has been in use since then?
It has been in use since then. There were five generations of Prestons that actually owned the home. And there was somebody in the house full-time that was a Preston descendant until the mid-1860s. After that time, they used it for a summer home for a bit. It was actually rented to the Virginia Tech farm managers for several years. It did stand empty for a few years, was basically used as a barn, and then someone realized the importance of not just the structure but the family and their influence in the state of Virginia and even beyond. And then it was given to Preservation Virginia to restore.
And when was that? When was it turned over?
In about 1959, between 1959 and 1960, and it took several years for negotiations to sort of be straightened out and then for restoration to occur.
And it's not just a simple matter of, oh, I have a home and I want to give it to APVA, is it?
Right.
It's more complex than that.
It really was a pretty complicated process, and money's always an issue in those circumstances, and there was not really an endowment that was offered with the property. So a branch of Preservation Virginia was formed, and they actually did the fundraising to pay for all of the restorations that were needed.
And Lori, just for people who have not been to Smithfield, give us a brief description of the grounds and the building itself. When you drive up, what do you see?
The house itself is basically in the Tidewater plantation style. If you visit Williamsburg, you see a lot of very similar architectural features. It's a very grand house when you think about the scale of it and the time frame it was built. Most folks were still in very simple structure. Most of them were still log dwellings at the time. So it's basically an L-shaped house and clapboard-sided. It has dormer windows. And the grounds have not necessarily been restored, but they've been refurbished in a style that indicates that time period, or basically a colonial time period. So it's open lawn, big trees. We do have a demonstration garden as well. And we're near 460, but you come to us through the Virginia Tech campus.
I see. And Sherry, when somebody approaches the museum, what do they see?
The museum's actually located just two blocks off of Main Street in Christiansburg, but it's tucked back in a residential area. Our next-door neighbor is the Montgomery County Social Services Building, and across the street there's several attached townhomes. But originally the property was larger and encompassed a small working farm during the Pepper family's tenure in the house. It's a brick house, and it's built in the 1850s, and it has molded brick cornice and other features that were common on fine brick houses of that period, of which it was one. It has a wraparound porch, which we've outfitted with rocking chairs, and it's extremely pleasant during the summer. There's large trees surrounding the house, and we also have a small ornamental garden done in a bit of a historic style, and that's maintained by the master gardeners, and they help us interpret that garden as well.
I see. And Terry, the two facilities that folks might be familiar with are the Alexander Black House.
Right.
And the Oddfellows Hall.
And the Oddfellows Hall. And that really presents kind of a dichotomy of two different types of buildings within the town. The Oddfellows Hall, of course, was an African-American community center, and so it was built by the community members themselves. As they got enough money to be able to purchase materials, they would actually work to build whatever they could at that point. It took them about 2 years to complete the construction of the building. So it's a very simple frame structure. The lot that it sits on, literally, the corners of the building are the corners of the lot, so there's no extra land with it. I hope people are aware of it now, especially because we have been doing a restoration of that building over the last 7 or 8 months, and so it's kind of called attention to it. It sits at Price's Fork and Main Street. It's directly behind Wendy's there at that intersection, and it's a two-story white structure, very simple clapboard siding and a metal roof on it. We have also built a second structure on that site that will house public restrooms and a small office for our staff there. So you have that simplicity of the community there. And then you compare that with the Alexander Black House, which was built to demonstrate the grand style of architecture at that particular time period. It was built in 1897. And, of course, Victorian architecture was at its peak at that point. And so Alexander Black, who was the local town banker, chose the style that he wanted to build his new home in and put all of the niceties, the fineries in that building. So it has elaborate mahogany woodwork in it. It has a tower with a peaked roof, slate roof, all kinds of grand things like that. That building, many people may remember, used to sit on Main Street where Starbucks now is. When that development was being prepared and planned, this building was slated for a demolition. They were going to tear it down. And quite a few community members, as well as townspeople, town council, took notice of that and realized this was too significant a structure for us to lose. And so they made a decision to save it. And the method of saving it was to purchase it and move it a block away. So we moved it back from Main Street onto Draper Road. And to make sure that that building was saved. As you may know, we haven't done anything as far as the restoration yet, and that is a money issue. We are working to raise money for that. But the building is saved. You know, when you compare to what the other option was, is the building would be lost entirely. It would have been torn down. Mm. So I do like to point out to people who say, "Why haven't you done anything with that building?" Well, we have. We saved it. And we're getting to the point that we'll be able to restore it and put it back into a good use.
And so it's physically on Draper Road now.
It is physically on Draper Road. Many people comment that it looks like it's sitting up on piers. It is not. That is the front porch. It is on a full basement foundation.
Oh, it is.
And the building is weather tight at this point. So, you know, we have taken steps to protect it while we're working towards the restoration. So.
I see. All right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back with our guests, Lori Tolliver Jones, Terry Nicholson, Sherry Wyatt, and Chance Hellman. And in the second quarter hour of the show, we'll be looking at upcoming events, activities, and news and developments from these historic preservation organizations. We'll be right back. Hey. And we're back. You're listening to Talk at the Table. I'm Andy Morikawa, and I'm here with our guests who are sharing with us various aspects of historic preservation in the New River Valley. Lori Tolliver-Jones is the Museum Administrator for Historic Smithfield. Terry Nicholson is Museum Administrator for the Town of Blacksburg. Sherry Wyatt is the Collections Manager for Montgomery Museum and Lewis Miller Regional Arts Center. And Chance Hellman is Staff Interpreter and Volunteer Coordinator for Historic Smithfield. In this second quarter hour, we're going to take a look at upcoming events and activities and ways for the community to engage with these three organizations. Terry Nicholson, why don't you tell us about what's coming up for Blacksburg?
Well, we're very excited about the opening of our first building that I've mentioned earlier, and that is coming up on April the 5th. We'll be having the grand opening of the St. Luke and Odd Fellows Hall. This building, as I said, was the center of an African-American community, and so as such, it has always played a role that was central to the community surrounding it. And we're planning for that use to be the same as we open this building. It will have a permanent exhibit in it about the community. We've entitled that From Civil War to Civil Rights, which covers the 100-year period that that community existed and thrived from the 1860s to the 1960s. The exhibit itself will be panels that are along the wall of the building, and we intentionally did that so that we could leave the center of the building open to be able to allow public meetings, space for people to come in and have group meetings. It's a small building. It will accommodate about 20 people, but a group from the public would be able to call us up and say we'd like to rent the building. It's a nominal fee to be able to do that.
And how would they get in touch with you to do that?
They can call me at 558-0746, or they can send an email to me at museum@blacksburg.gov. Those are the easiest ways to get in touch with me, and we can make arrangements for whatever date they're interested in. So the grand opening will be on April the 5th, a ribbon cutting at 10 o'clock, and then from 10 to 2, we will have the building open so that people can come in and see the exhibit there. So we are very excited about this as our first opening of a building for the museum program.
You bet. It was you gave us some of us a preview of the building the other day, and I appreciated that and was impressed with both the simplicity of the building and the fact that it had stood after 100 years, more than 100 years, 140 years.
Yeah, the building, as I said, was simple construction, but it has been really well loved and well taken care of. And because of the character of that building and its simplicity, we made a conscious decision about the restoration of the building that it would be a preservation as opposed to a rehabilitation or a renovation. What we did is took the patina of the building and stopped it. So, you know, we really are preserving it in time, not trying to make the building look new. We are making sure that you can see that that building has been well used as a community center. So, you know, we did things like we would not replace the floor, even though the floor has stains and has some cracks in it. We made sure the floor was sturdy and that it would hold people, but we did not want to make it look new. Similarly, the paint on the walls, there are cracks and some chips in the plaster, but we didn't try to make that look new either. You know, it's a demonstration of the fact that that building has been so well used. So we wanted to preserve that.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to go visit, how do they get there?
The easiest access is actually to go in like you're going to Wendy's and go beyond that, and you'll see Gilbert Street pulls right up to the back gate of the Oddfellows Hall, and there you can actually park along that street there and take a walk around. We will be setting open hours for the building after the grand opening. Those have not been determined as of yet, so I can't say what they are yet, but do look for the fact that the museum will be open regular hours for people to come by and visit as
well. Excellent. And what's the website address?
Blacksburg.gov, and I would encourage people to sign up for Blacksburg Alerts if they haven't already done that. And you can do that on the front page of the website. You can actually check which types of information you're interested in receiving by email, and the museum is one of those categories.
Thanks. Sherry Wyatt is the collections manager for Montgomery Museum and Lewis Miller Regional Arts Center. Sherry, what are some upcoming activities there?
Well, one of the things that we do at the museum is have rotating art and history exhibits. Our art exhibit changes every month to every 2 months, and a new exhibit just opened this past Friday night, and it's the Christiansburg High School art class exhibit, and that will be up through the month of March, and I believe they're followed by the Blacksburg High School students, and the full schedule is available on our website, which is montgomerymuseum.org. And history exhibits, a new one of those will be opening up in May. And our big event for our season comes in late August, and that's our Heritage Day. And we have lots of vendors and demonstrators of traditional crafts. We have historic interpreters. A lot of times the Smithfield Guild, the Smithfield Junior Guild comes and perform dances. We have a lot of activity out on the grounds during that Saturday event. Music, dancing in the gazebo behind the museum. So that's our big event for the year. One new thing that we're doing right now is the traveling trunk. And this is a really interesting program that's geared towards school children, and it was begun by Jim Page, and he has loaned to the museum his collection of really interesting artifacts from the late 18th century, very early 19th century, and the idea is you're able to use these artifacts hands-on. You pick them up, you examine them, and you work in teams to try to figure out what they were. It's a variety of things, some really unusual things.
Without giving too much away, what are some examples?
one example is a small handmade, it looks like a little dish. It's about the size of your hand if you were to cup your hand, and it has a little spout and a little hook on the top of it. And what would that have been? It obviously has some sort of residue inside. And so you begin to look at this thing and you realize, well, maybe that was a place for a wick. And then it becomes apparent that it was actually a little lamp. And you filled with some any kind of oil or grease in the little pan, and you had a little wick, and the hook was made it a mobile lamp. Nice. So that's one example. There's I don't know, probably 40 or 50 items in the collection. And the idea is that we have docents who are specially trained to give this program to children. And anyone can call or get in touch with our director to make an appointment for us to bring the program to them. And to do that, you can email our executive director. Her name is Sue Farrar. And her email address is director@montgomerymuseum.org. Or give us a call at 382-5644.
And what are the hours for the museum where folks can come and see the Blacksburg High School student artwork and the Christiansburg High School student artwork?
Mm-hmm. The museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 4:30.
Okay, excellent. And for the art shows by the students, what kinds of